My name is Jackie Lamport. Today is Monday, December 20th. Welcome to the Capital Daily Podcast. Today on the show.
We want to try and move away from this idea that going green is about giving stuff up or that going green is about sacrifice. It's not. It's about becoming almost richer.
The District of Souk, for the first time ever, has put significant funds into climate action, including hiring a dedicated climate action coordinator. For Municipal Monday, we talked to Maya Karasfeld about the role she's stepping into, how Souk can meet the targets it's set, and the challenges it faces. Today's Capital Daily Podcast is brought to you by Cooking School with the London Chef. Dan Hayes is a classically trained chef, educator, and co-host of award-winning TV show Moose Meat and Marmalade. Over the past decade, he's taught more than 100,000 students at his location on 4th Street, and his new online cooking school brings his charming approach to food to a worldwide audience. Cook along with Dan in live classes or browse the ever-growing video library covering everything from basic skills to elaborate meals. A monthly subscription is $19.99 for a limited time, and you get your first 2 months free. Visit thelondonchef.com to learn more. That's thelondonchef.com. For today's Municipal Monday, co-producer Martin Bauman will be speaking with Maya. Here's their conversation.
Maya, thanks for joining the show. You've recently come into the role of climate action coordinator for the District of Souk. Let's start there. What does a climate action coordinator do?
Thanks for having me, Martin. The climate action coordinator, well, one of my primary roles is going to be helping Souk gather together the climate action plan for the district and help the municipality really pull together all of the different strategies that have been created and thought about and put them into a cohesive plan.
This position is a first, right? It's the first budget where the district has put significant funds right into direct climate action.
Yeah.
What are the key areas of opportunity that Souk actually has the jurisdiction and resources to address?
Absolutely. Yeah, that's a great question. So there's a couple of things that I'm working on immediately. First of all is we are taking stock of current emissions in a district and also on the corporation level of the district municipality and making sure that we have that inventory and reporting it to a program called the Partners for Climate Protection, or PCP. And so that's like the first step. And then through that program, we are also going to be reporting our targets, which, as you may know, is 50% reduction from 2018 levels by 2030 and net zero by 2050. Mm-hmm. And so we'll be reporting those targets for the community level and also be setting targets for the corporation level. And then from then on, we're going to be working on developing that climate action plan and implementing it. So a lot goes into that. That's where I'm going to have to tie in knowledge and expertise from a whole pile of different people, staff, community members, everyone I can, really, and pull it together into a plan that allows us to take action on policies, advocate for things that we want to see in different jurisdictions that help benefit Souk, etc. So you asked about what are things that we can feasibly do as a district and like what do we have jurisdiction over? And there are some things that we can do energy-wise. We can make sure that our like municipal wastewater treatment plant is as efficient as possible and that lighting and energy use in the district is as efficient as possible. We're also going to be working to ensure that any development choices that are made are done with sufficient environmental considerations in mind. So there's a lot of work going into that with our draft OCP. And there'll be more about that in the climate action plan as well. And then also just really working with the CRD and the province in order to ensure that all of those other areas that we don't really have jurisdiction over, but that we can push for more action on. So that things like transit and ensuring that we have a lot of really good public transit in the area to help encourage people to reduce commuting as much as possible. I know a lot of people need to commute out of Souk because mm-hmm. that's kind of the way things are, but we're working on figuring out ways that we can encourage people to either continue working from home or start working from home if possible. We're also talking about a lot of really interesting ideas around potentially a co-working center where you can, you know, hang out in Souk and have a really awesome space to go work if you don't want to work at home, but or can't. instead of commuting all the way into town. So there's a lot of really awesome ideas that have been brought up and are currently being fleshed out. And that's going to really culminate in this climate action plan that we're developing.
You know, Souk holds a unique place on Vancouver Island. It's an oceanfront community. You know, it conjures images of East Souk Park and old growth trees and the Souk Bluffs. I think about, you know, salmon flowing through the river. It's also a resource-based community, from logging to its history of copper mining, and a commuter community, as you've mentioned. People often commuting into the CRD, and it's a growing one too. How does Souk sort of reconcile all of these things together when keeping in mind its goals to be more climate forward and come together with a plan? How does that, I suppose, grow and continue to grow as a community while also meeting those goals set forward?
You know, it's tricky to do, and it's definitely a balancing act. And I think what really it really comes down to is the fact that a lot of people in Souk really care a lot about the environment that we live in. And it holds a special place in everyone's hearts and everyone's minds. And I think that's where that balancing piece is going to really play a part, is where we can figure out where can we either change our behavior or where can we change policy so that it allows us to reach these goals while also ensuring that we're not sacrificing. So we want to try and move away from this idea that going green is about giving stuff up, mm-hmm. or that going green is about sacrifice. It's not. It's about becoming almost richer. You get more time if you don't have to commute in and out. You get more money in your pocket if you don't have to pay for gas, if you're using active transportation or an EV potentially. And the district can also do that on a grander scale, as well as all the different businesses that are in Souk. So, you know, I think there's a lot that we can do that are more about gaining what we can get out of moving to a greener perspective of what Souk can be. And it's not about giving stuff up. It's about realizing that there's so much to gain.
If I'm a skeptic, maybe I'll play the role of a skeptic. Okay, sure. I'm not normally a skeptic. I would think, okay, the district has hired someone because they want to look like they're doing something, but how much are they actually going to do? I guess what I'm wondering is, how much license do you have to hold the district's feet to the fire, so to speak, when it comes to climate action and getting them to do the things that you'd recommend?
Well, I would say that before they even hired me, they signed up for some pretty awesome targets and also signed up for that Partners for Climate Protection program that I mentioned, which has a public-facing component. There are 5 milestones to this. And when we've gone through each milestone and we are able to publish our progress, people will be able to see that. And so as much as I can, you know, internally remind my colleagues that we have an obligation to the residents of Souk, I think there's also going to be a lot of accountability coming from people watching very closely to how are we actually going to attain our goals. And it's going to take everybody to kind of remind us of that, I think. But at the same time, for my role is to help bring together all of these people that are already working for the district and doing amazing work, and bring them together to the same table to show, hey, look, this is what you guys are already doing, and it's awesome, and here's more that we can do, and let's do that. You know, like, I think it's primed to actually make a lot of difference in the district. And, you know, we're really working hard on making that difference quickly as possible. We only have 8 years until 2030. So, you know, we got to go for a full sprint here. And we're prepared to do that. You know, Souk is the kind of place where, like, you care so much about it, you want to do the job right. And I think the people that are in those seats and doing the work, they really do want to do it right.
And we'll take a quick break here for a word from our sponsor. Today's Capital Daily podcast is brought to you by Coastal Community Credit Union. The most exciting purchase most of us make is a home. Whatever your situation, Coastal Community Credit Union has a custom-tailored mortgage solution that's right for you. To learn more, visit cccu.ca.
If there is a barrier that prevents people from engaging in conversations about climate change, about climate action, I think like any field, environmentalism can be full of jargon. I think you know this well.
Yeah, and, absolutely.
And jargon doesn't serve anyone when we're trying to have discussions that bring everyone to the table. I would love to talk about a series that you've worked on called Demystifying Climate Jargon. What can you tell me about that?
Oh, yeah. So one of my little pet projects is Demystifying Climate Jargon was a social media series and blog series that I was writing just to kind of break down some of these bigger terms, break down some of these bigger concepts that I kept hearing in my studies and in headlines and all over the place, and often used to, you know, fearmonger or to kind of paint a picture that made us not really sure what the answer was at the end of the day. You know, the article might talk about a term that just, it didn't really get to the point of what it actually meant. And so I just wanted to help people understand, like, this information should be for everybody. It should not be locked behind closed doors. It should not be something that you have to pay for. I was very privileged to be able to pay for my education, and I want to ensure that people that want access to this information get it, even if they can't pay for it. So that was part of the reasoning behind creating that series. Because it's, as you said, as like with any field, there's a lot of fancy terms, a lot of jargon that get created almost as a, like, it is useful because it, sometimes we don't have a word for what the thing is originally, but in some ways that word can then be weaponized to keep certain people out. And when it comes to something as important as climate change and what we can do to prevent as much of it as possible, it's not worth trying to keep people out of that. So I wanted to try and demystify some of these terms.
So you've mentioned already the District of Souk has a goal of cutting carbon emissions by 50% by 2030. Just how feasible is that goal, and what does that actually mean compared to what, you know, what it is right now? What would that actually look like to cut emissions? How drastic of changes are we talking?
Yeah, so I'm glad you asked that. So again, prior to my starting, there's been some really important work done by the Climate Action Committee. They crunched some numbers and figured out that year on year, there were a certain number of tons of emissions that we would need to reduce in order to get to that goal. To be honest with you, I can't remember the exact number off the top of my head, not in front of my computer right now, but it was the equivalent of roughly like 200 people a year in Souk should change their mode of transportation away from a fossil fuel vehicle. And roughly the same number of people, if they can fuel switch from either natural gas or oil or wood stove to an electric heat pump, that would be the number of people, the number of behavior changes that would help us get there. Now, that is a piece of it, and there are additional measures that can be done on top of that as well to ensure that we can get there even faster, or ensure that we can get there in spite of construction projects that emit carbon. But that, having such a solid figure, is very rare for a municipality to be able to point to and say, look, this is the number of people that we want to try and get on board with this. And this is not to say that we're saying that's the individual, the onus is on the individual to make these changes. It's not only about that. Obviously, the district also has to do their part and make changes in policy. But that's a really powerful number, and it gives an idea of like how big the changes we need to make are. And that's year after year, right? So 200 of each every year in order to get to our goal. So, you know, we have our work cut out for us, but we're up to the challenge, I think.
Part of the changes that you were talking about in order to facilitate this kind of transition you're hoping for to meet these targets involves things like transitioning to heat pumps, involves transitioning away from other fuel sources. Are there opportunities to financially support or incentivize people who may have lower incomes to be able to afford these kinds of things, to be able to bring them in on all of this?
Absolutely. Thank you for asking that. Yeah. So I would say on the district level, not yet. We are looking at how to fund various programs such as rebates on the district level. That being said, there are already provincial level and federal level rebates available for people who are interested in switching to a heat pump. I would recommend getting in touch with the Clean BC Energy Coach service, which is run by the province, and it's a free service. If you call them, they pick up right away. It doesn't go to some kind of answering machine where you click through the numbers. And they know how to help you go through all of the different provincial rebate steps. They won't fill it out for you, but they'll at least guide you through the process of what rebates are available. Depending on what fuel source you're switching from, there can be, you know, several thousand dollars worth of rebates available for people to make that switch for both oil and natural gas switches. If you're switching from electric baseboard heating, there are still rebates available, not quite as much, but it is still worth checking it out because you might save up to $1,000 at the very least. And that's on provincial level. If you're interested in also getting an additional up to $5,000 from the feds, you can also do that. There is an additional step there where you need to sign up to get a home EnerGuide assessment, I believe is what it's called, where they have an energy assessor basically come into your house and do a look around. They do some tasks, figure out what steps they think should happen first. And once that assessment has been completed, you become eligible for up to $5,000 of federal grants in, for rebates for this kind of work. And that particular one can be applied to not only heat pumps, but also things like solar panels, if you're interested in that. So yeah, there are definitely programs out there. I also know that there are some interesting things potentially coming out of the CRD soon. So keep your eyes peeled for that. And another part of my work plan is also to put together some of this information on the district's website, which is being rebuilt in the new year.
So you mentioned the climate action plan. I'm just curious to know what a time frame for that looks like. When do you envision something like that being ready for the district?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, my work plan that was approved as part of this internship, I think it's, as far as I know, it's public. My work plan has that deadline as basically by May or June, having it in front of the council. So yeah, middle of next year, hoping to have a solid draft. Now that wouldn't be the final product necessarily, because it would have to go to council first and may have some revisions. And in addition to that, I want to make sure that we are able to showcase this climate action plan to various stakeholder groups throughout the district to be able to gain more feedback and more insight into what maybe is missing or could be strengthened. So there will be some time after May or June that we won't quite have the final thing, but I would expect, you know, pretty much by the end of summer. That's my hope anyway.
Mm-hmm. You're in this role of climate action coordinator for 9 months, or at least 9 months initially, if it were to be extended. Yeah. What does success look like to you? How will you define, you know, if the job is a success?
Yeah. Well, you know, my job is to get this climate action plan off the ground and to get it to council. My hope is that when we have that document ready to go and put it in front of council, that they will look at it and approve it. And my hope, my definition of success for this role is that regardless of whether it's me or somebody else in this seat, that the person in this seat can continue to make a difference for Sooke. The climate action coordinator is a coordinator first and foremost. They are the person who helps everyone in all departments of the district and also connects with citizens to work together to coordinate our efforts. And if I can set up the blocks in order so that whoever it is, whether it's me or somebody else, can pick up those blocks and put them together, I will say that I've won.
Maya, thank you so much for your time.
Yeah, thanks.
If you want to help support Capital Daily's local journalism and connect your business with our engaged and curious Greater Victoria audience of over 50,000, you can email our partnerships team at advertising@capitaldaily.ca. And thanks so much for joining us today. If you enjoyed the show, please leave a rating and a review and also subscribe so that you don't miss any episodes going forward. We post new shows every Monday to Friday. My name is Jackie Lamports. This is the Capital Daily Podcast. We'll talk to you tomorrow.